Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Oak Town Sports Show with Mike Wood coming to you live from the city of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina on this, the 14th day of September 2016. Well, tonight on the Overtime Sports Show, it's going to be a night of politics. Tonight, we're going to hopefully talk with Sam Gedman, the interim director for the Durham County Board of Elections, supposed to be calling in tonight. But, you know, this is a show about politics and a show about voting and a show about, you know, just getting it done and doing whatever it is you're going to do in these elections coming up here in November. And first of all, what I want to say and what I want to start out with is just remember this. Every single vote counts. Now, I know when you're talking about, you know, general elections, you're talking about nationwide electoral offices such as the President of the United States, that basically votes in various states don't count as much as votes in others. That's just the way the Electoral College was set up. The Electoral College was set up to make sure that the bigger states had more representation, which I know isn't fair because in America, it's winner take all. If you win, you win. If you lose, you try again another day. But politics isn't quite that way. But literally, ladies and gentlemen, what I can say to you and what I can say to the people of the country is this. Tip O'Neill, a congressman from Boston, once said that all politics is local. And basically, he is correct. You know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter in a certain degree who the President of the United States is, because as you know right now, we can't let a certain person get in that office because it'll take us all the way back to the 50s and 60s. If you think we're having a war now, you ain't seen nothing yet, because you're going to see an uprising like you've never seen before, because people who have had freedom won't let it be taken away by people who try to oppress you in the first place. And it's just going to be a simple outright war. I'm telling you, it's just not going to work. You're seeing it now. You're seeing with some of the situations going on around the country where, it's just not going to be a good look. Overseas, they're absolutely laughing at America that we can have what we have now running for president, basically on both sides, but especially on one. It's really scaring the bejeebies out of people around the world. But you look at things, and politics is local. HB2 has just taken North Carolina right out off the sports map. It's taking us off the corporate map. It's just doing so much damage to our state, you know, and then we're becoming a laughingstock around the country. I'm still trying to figure out, and if someone can absolutely explain this to me, when in the world did this problem come up with the bathroom? I don't understand this. But what a lot of people aren't recognizing is the bathroom portion was put in it to take your eyes off the prize. The LGB thing was put in it to cause the emotional uproar that it's causing now. I mean, you look at part of the bill, they were talking about you can't sue the state for discrimination. Basically, now the state can discriminate against you in this bill. I mean, just look at it. I mean, the state is state-sponsored racism and everything else in this HB2 bill. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much they yell at it. It's almost like if you're trying to tell – it's almost like – at one time, I had somebody that was not African-American try to tell me basically that I didn't know what it meant for me to be discriminated against, that I did not know what discrimination was, being African-American, growing up in the 60s. Now, I tell you this, a lot of kids today, what they're going through, the struggles they're going through are different than the struggles that I went through. The struggles that they're going through, sometimes they'll tell you, you have no idea. And you're right, I have a good idea about the struggles they're going through now, but I don't have an idea about the struggles because I'm not going through their particular struggle. In my day, I had to go in the back of a restaurant. I remember going in the back of the restaurant. I was going, my mother took me downtown, and I wanted a cheeseburger. That's all I wanted. An American kid in America wanted a cheeseburger. So my mom took me to get the cheeseburger. It was a place called Walter's Grill in my hometown. I don't know if it's there now or not. Hopefully it's not. But I get out of my car, and I'm walking to the front door. She toots the horn. She says, no, baby, you have to go around back. Now, I'm confused, okay, because I've been a little bit sheltered, not you know, just getting out there, not having to deal with stuff, you know, on an everyday basis. But now I'm getting a little bit older and realizing a few more things. So I walk around to the back, and I go in this like, building that's attached to the building. And you walk in, there's a wooden floor with, you know, cracks in it. And you can see right through, it's grass coming up through the cracks. And there's like, booths on either side. There's only two booths. You got the red leather cover on it, the red table, the little speckles there. Remember the old days? And it's broken. And then you have this door in front of you, and the door is dirty. It's like one of these two-part doors, a bottom part and a top part. And it's dirty, you know, and the place is dirty. And so it says, knock on door. So I knocked on the door, and this lady, there was a sign up there, and this lady slings open the door. What do you want? A white lady. And I said, cheeseburger all the way and a Coke, because that's what you drink back then, the little 10-ounce bottles that if you drink it too fast, it come back out your nose. And it was like $1.25. That's what it was. So it's kind of expensive to get a cheeseburger back. And a hamburger was like 39 cents. Put cheese on it like a dollar. So she takes my money. She slams the door. Now I'm hurt by this time because I'm like, what did I do to this woman? So one hour later, she comes back with the food, slams it on the counter, and it almost falls on the floor. I have to catch it as it's falling off the counter. And she slams the door again. No, no, thank you. No, bite me. No, nothing. So by this time, I'm really in my feelings. I'm actually emotional. I go back to the car, and I'm crying. Yes, Michael Elliott Wood is crying. I tell my mom what happens. Now, my mom tears up also, because I know she did not want her baby to face what she faced every single day. She wants it to be better. She wants the world to be better. So I tell her the story. She looks at me and she says, well, baby, that's just the way it is right now. And I looked at her and I said, no, Mama. I said, I promise you this, Mama. As long as I have breath in my body to the day I don't function anymore, I will never, and I mean never, let that happen to me again without dealing with it. And from that day to this one right now, talking to you here on the Overtime Sports Show, I will not, under any circumstances whatsoever, tolerate it. I will use whatever legal means necessary to jack your tail up. I will do it because I will not stand for it. I will not treat you that way. You will not treat me that way. If I did something to you, then I could understand it. But I did nothing other than being born in this country. It's supposed to guarantee me the rights and liberties and freedoms of everyone. Not some of the rights, but all of the rights. You know, locally you take my tax money, you do what you want to with it. You build parks, you build monuments, things I can't even afford to go to. You build them for certain people. You come in and you take what's called gentrification. You come in and you take what you didn't want. Now, if you see a value to it, then you come and take the land now. All of a sudden, it's asked to be improved. You wouldn't do it for the last 50 years, but now you see you can make money. You come in and you take it. And then you build a housing that you can't afford. The people that were living there can't afford. So they've got to move out of the neighborhoods that they went in and fought for and strive for and try to make better. And you come in one night and take away everything that they, the little piece of heaven they did have. Now, how do we change all this? We don't change it by shooting at people. You don't change it by killing people. You don't do any of that stuff. Now, other countries, you have revolution, whatever, but that's not the civilized way to do it, hurting people. You do it at the box. If you don't like what Pat McCrory is doing right now to the state of North Carolina, then, you know, you don't need a recall election. You just need an election. Get rid of it. If you don't like what your state senators are doing, get rid of them, because all politics is local. You have to change the way that the state legislature does things in order to get things that you want done. People say you don't have the right to complain if you don't vote. You have the right to complain. It's America. You have the right to complain. But complain doesn't get it done. So for people to say that, I don't want to hear that, because you have the right to complain. You have the right to do whatever you want to. And if you don't believe it, you tell the person that tells you that you don't have the right to complain, and then tell them, well, they don't have any right to say anything about my right, then you'll see they're going to tell me, I can say what I want to say, so I can do it too. So don't say that. That's not true. That's just BS. But we must get out and vote. Now, remember, the law has been fixed as not to exclude anybody. Don't let anybody tell you when you go to vote that you have to show ID. You don't. If they come up and they say, I need to see some ID, you tell them two words that's the, one of the two of the greatest words in the English language, and will prove to them that you are truly all American. You look them straight in the face and say, bite me, because they don't need to see any ID. If there is a dispute, go to the captain who's there. If the captain doesn't do it, then there's going to be probably 10 million ACL, you lawyers hanging around. You get one of them, and you bust them a new one, and then you sue them civilly, which is what I would do. It cost me $50 to file it, and you $5 million to fight it. Make sure you're registered to vote. Make sure that your address and any information pertaining to voting is updated and correct. Make sure of that. If you have to call down to whatever county you're listening to me in now, no matter what state, you call your local Board of Elections and you find out if everything is okay. Sometimes you can go on a website and check it that way. I know in North Carolina, we can go on a website and you can check it that way to make sure everything is okay and get it all fixed before October the 8th. Make sure everything is straight before October the 8th. Make sure you know where your precinct is. Now, there's a lot of information going around now that people are sending out misdirecting you on where to go and vote. However, that's not so bad now as it used to be, because you can vote basically wherever you are, but it's better to vote at the precinct. It saves a lot of trouble that is, you know, your precinct. So if anything comes in the mail, trust but verify. Go to your county's Board of Elections website and check it and make sure that you're voting at the proper precinct. Now, in a jurisdiction in South Carolina, the sheriff sent deputies to African Americans' homes to make sure that they were where they say they were. Sent deputies to check, which is totally illegal, and hopefully he'll be removed from office or the Justice Department will come in and fine him like $450,864,000.32 for doing crap like that. Remember, there's going to be voting intimidation. We've already seen it. There's going to be people telling you, oh, no, don't vote on the 8th, you vote on the 9th. You don't vote on the 9th, you vote on the 10th. There's going to be people that's going to tell you everything. Don't listen. All you do is call your local Board of Elections, churches, you know, get your congregations together. Let them know this information. Let them know where to go, you know, where to go vote. Have the information available. Have registration forms available. Have all kind, have people come in and talk to the congregation. Because you know what? We thought as a people that 2008 was going to be the election that was going to change the world. And it did to a certain degree. It was an election that was historical. It was the first African-American ever to be voted into the White House. And not only did he win once, but he won twice. But the basic bottom line was what I said then held true. And people looked at me and said, "You're crazy." I said, "Barack Obama will win the presidency of the United States because history is on a roll now. But the key to it all is, will he be allowed to govern? The system is set up in such a way that if there is a blip on the radar in history, that they'll be able to control it. That's why you have the Electoral College. The only thing about that was Barack Obama won by such a wide margin in 2008 and 2012, and there was nothing they could do about it. They were hoping it was close, and then something historical could happen, but it didn't work that way because the man had a election team that was a juggernaut. They couldn't be stopped. History. The stars lined up. The cats barked. The dogs meowed. Everything went right for two election cycles. And now we have what we have now. Get out and vote. Remember, people died so you could vote. Get out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. That's the thing about me. I don't care who you vote for. I know who I would like for you to vote for. But I don't care who you vote for as long as you vote. Exercise your right for democracy. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. Get out there and vote. And I cannot understand. We can put a satellite on an asteroid moving through space at a billion miles an hour, a satellite the size of a washing machine, which is like trying to catch a BB shot at midnight with the lights out, you're blindfolded and got earmuffs on, and you still catch that BB. But yet, you can't vote in America? A country that would see that over in Iran or Iraq that people could vote by just using a thumbprint on a piece of paper and they could vote, but in America they make it hard for you to vote? Are we the most hypocritical people on earth that we can say we want freedom for everyone except our own people? I'm an American. I was born and raised right here. I will fight for this country. Yeah, we have problems in America. And, yeah, people have the right to protest, sit down for the national anthem, stand up for the national anthem, tap dance to the national anthem. They have a right to do that. And I also have the right to defend my country when I want. I have the right to call them out when they're wrong and praise them when they're right. I don't have to conform to what you think because you think it. That's your problem. That's what makes America great. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Despite the police killings, despite all the other mess that's going on in this country that's actually turning the clock back to the 60s, still, we have work to do, but still, it's the best thing going today. And yeah, that's why democracy is ever evolving. It's a living, breathing thing because it has to go through evolution. If man himself supposedly went through a period of evolution, then the Constitution, the living, breathing document that it is, has to go through an evolution also, a metamorphosis. It has to, like, shed his skin to a certain degree and come out on the other side a beautiful butterfly. It is a change of seasons. It's a change of thoughts. It's a change of society. It's a change of social norms. This ain't June Cleaver's house. This ain't Leave It to Beaver. Everything has evolved from that. Everything is changing. And the Constitution has to be a living document. In 1776, they didn't anticipate people being armed with 50 caliber weapons. They had what? Muskets. One-shot weapons. They didn't have all that stuff. They had bows and arrows. They were still riding horses and going, yee-haw, back in those days. So they did not look to, wow, you know what's going to happen there, old Thomas Jefferson in 2016? Excuse me, can you let your slave go there for a moment? Yes. We didn't see what was, you know, anticipate 2016. We didn't even know that this order to form a more perfect union was even going to last till 2016. They couldn't even put it on their radar for 2016. So the document they wrote was a document of the times. And as a country grows, it has to go through growth pains. And this country continues year after year, generation after generation, day after day, legislative session after legislative session. It grows and it changes in order to form a more perfect union. We must vote. We must get out and exercise the rights that others died for. We must vote. We must pay as much attention to voting as when Jordan releases new shoes, and there's 1,000 people in line stampeding in to get some tennis shoes that cost to make 25 cents, and he's selling them for $300. And you're making him a billionaire for no reason whatsoever of a tennis shoe? But you'll break your neck to go get that tennis shoe, or you'll break your neck to go get that Apple phone, or you'll break your neck to go and get weave on Saturday. But when it comes to voting, I went to my precinct the last local election we had. There's something like maybe, I think they said 10, 15,000 people in my precinct, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I finally got there, and only 3 people had voted. 3. Now imagine, they have to print up ballots for every person in that precinct to make sure they have enough ballots in case everybody comes in, and some extras in case there's some questions. And only 3. But yet, things are happening like HB 2. And we really don't know what's causing all this. But it is your right not to vote. It is your right not to complain. It is your right to go to the back of the bus again. It is your right not to be able to get education again. It is your right for them to make laws saying you can't be taught to read and write, because you said it's okay for that to happen. Then it's okay to be upset. Then it's okay to try to make change. But you ever try to get a tick off of a dog's ear after it's dug in? And sure enough, it would be a whole lot better if you used a flea powder prior to that tick digging into that hound's ear, because it's hard to root him out. But anyway, as we wrap up today, I just want to say one thing. I guess we'll get Sam Gedman back on the show, and I'm going to get him on the show. I want him on this show, so I don't know exactly what occurred tonight, but I know that Mr. Gedman is passionate, so it had to be something about, you know, elections and getting it right. I know that. Durham County, boy, I'm going to tell you this right now. They've had a little blip in the road, a little question here and there, but they do a great job here in Durham. And you don't have that many problems here in Durham. They do a great job. The only big problem I remember was back when Jesse Helms was running against Harvey Gantt for U.S. Senate, and it was amazing. All of the voting machines in Durham, the lever, that was back in the lever days. Remember, you had to click, 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 click. Okay. Back in those days, if you're old, young, you don't remember. You're old, you do. But all the levers for Harvey Gantt did not work, but all the ones for Jesse Helms did. That was the only problem that was back then. That was an interesting night. People voted clean up till midnight that night because they were not going to go home until they got a chance to cast their vote for Harvey Gantt. But anyway, take advantage of early voting. You can vote almost in any precinct with early voting, but check with your local board of elections to make sure exactly what the early voting hours are. The early voting has been tried to be limited because that is one thing that's in favor of Democrats. Republicans have tried to, you know, do everything in the world. They violated laws to keep black people from voting. So that's why the federal judge came in and said, no, you can't do that because, I mean, it was built strictly on and across racial lines as to what you were trying to do, and they couldn't hide it. They didn't really try to hide it because they figured they had a judge in their pocket anyway, but the judge said, oh, no, that's too much there. But be sure to vote locally, pay attention, nationally, pay attention. Gather somebody together, pull them out. If they have never voted, make sure they're registered to vote and get them to vote. At churches, make sure your congregation is registered to vote. Go down to the Board of Elections, get the registration forms, have them fill them out, turn them into the Board of Elections, or you can gather them and turn them into the Board of Elections. Either way, make sure they know they are registered to vote and vote. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Overtime Sports Show today and listening to me ramble on and on, but I'm passionate about this. Communities. Durham, North Carolina is the greatest city on the planet. We still have work to do. We still have elections to vote in. There's still a few changes that need to be made here in Durham. But Durham is, and I will say this time and time again, we are the best thing going today. So until next time, goodbye, everybody, and you have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and go vote.